In our evening services, we've been having a look at our Christmas theme, which has been the Son of Man. Why the Son of Man has come into the world. There are a few passages that we have had a look at so far of our last couple of Sunday evenings. We first had a look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, where it said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then last Sunday evening, we had a look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, where it tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And from at least from those two passages, we see that Jesus has come into our world to serve us, to seek us, and to save us. And now tonight we'll be having a look at John's first epistle, or his first letter, and we'll be looking in at chapter 3 and verse 8, where it tells us that the Son of Man, or the Son of God, has come into our world for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And so that is pretty much going to be the theme that we're going to be looking at this evening. But as we partake, as we know, in our Christmas festivities, and we've heard it, and we've heard it a number of times, even John mentioned it, that we mustn't forget the focal point of our celebrations. And as I said, it's very predictable, and we hear it so many times that it becomes mundane. But the reality is that we can still fall into the habit of making everything about our traditions, or about our family gatherings, or the roast, or the presents, or the holidays, or the tree. But Christmas, if it should mean anything to us, and in reality, it should mean everything to us, then we should ensure that it is Jesus who shines through the brightness, and that he is the one then that should actually take center stage during this time of the year. And so we celebrate Christmas because the second person of the Trinity, the Son, he chose to come into this world where he dwelled with man. But not only that, he came as a man, even coming as a baby, and so that he could identify with us in every single way. That's why those passages were read to us. They are so rich in regards to what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So he has come to identify with us in every way. Yes, so that he could save us, but also so that he could help us, that he could change us and give us eternal hope. And so Christmas is a time of joyous celebration as we contemplate this immeasurable gift of the Son of Man coming into our world to save us. To save us from his judgment, but also to save us from eternal misery that we were actually destined for. We have much to celebrate. But you see, it's not only about celebration and contemplation. It actually needs to be more than that. The gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, should actually penetrate our hearts and our minds and bring about an ongoing harvest of fruit in our lives, in season and out of season, in the good times and in the bad times. I was challenged the other day when I was reading through one of the Desiring God articles that I received through the emails through John Piper Ministries. And the part of the article went something like this, and it's a quotation from John Piper. And he says, "As I studied Romans 9 day after day, I began to see God so majestic, so majestic and so free and so absolutely sovereign that my analysis merged into worship. And the Lord said, in effect, I will not simply be analyzed. I will be adored. I will not simply be pondered. I will be proclaimed. My sovereignty is not simply to be scrutinized. It is to be heralded. It is not grist for the mill of controversy. It is gospel for sinners who know that the only hope is the sovereign triumph of God's grace over their rebellious will." And I was thinking about it at Christmas. Like, yes, we celebrate what our Lord Jesus has done for us. But just in our general commune with the Lord, as we spend time with him reading through the scriptures and in prayer, is he adored? Do we proclaim him? Are we his heralds, where we speak of the wonders that he has done? We allow the world to rob us of this special time. We should be proclaiming, we should be heralding what our Lord Jesus has done for us, what he has done for us. And so we should stand in absolute awe and wonder at this humbling truth that Jesus came to serve us, to seek us and to save us. And until that moment when we stand face to face with our Lord Jesus, he has also promised to sustain us. Served us, he has sought us out, he has saved us, and he will continue to sustain us. And so Jesus saves us from the punishment of our sin. He saves us from his own wrath, and he saves us from this destructive bonds that our great enemy had over us, the devil. And so we have been liberated so that we can love and serve our true Savior, our Lord Jesus. And so our lives should be glittered with all of this fruit of our love towards him, our worship of him, our adoration, our proclamation, our servanthood. And so our lives need to be a declaration of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And so our only point for this evening is simply Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. And so, as I said, the passage that we're going to quickly have a look at is 1 John chapter 3. And I'm just going to read the first couple of verses up to verse 10. And John writes, "Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has given to us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he does appear, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins, and there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or know him. Children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who commits sin is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, because his seed remains in him. He is not able to sin, because he has been born of God. This is how God's children and the devil's children become obvious. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother or sister." And so John mentions one of the greatest accomplishments of Jesus' saving work for you and for me, an achievement that we could never attain for ourselves. And through his selfless and gracious love, Jesus has done it on our behalf. Look again with me at that verse 8. And it says, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." And so why did Jesus come into this world? Why descend into the darkness of our depravity? And so John tells us that he came to bring light into the darkness. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to bring liberation. In other words, Jesus came to destroy the devil's grasp that he had on us, and then to liberate us from a life of willful sinning, and obviously then the judgment that would come in regards to that. But we also see from the passage that he also has come to adopt us and to make us a part of his family. And so the Apostle John wants us to be filled with gratitude for this liberating work that Jesus has done. But he also wants us to be on our guard, not to be fooled by the schemes of this world. Because it is so easy to be lured back into the way of life that is in rebellion towards God. And so John's words to us in this verse are a reminder of God's amazing grace. And that is the thing, is that God did not have to spare anyone. God did not have to spare any of us. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but our children that are born to us, I look at my three girls, they didn't have a say in the matter. They didn't have a say in the matter. They had no choice in coming into this world. They had no choice as to who their parents would be. And they had no choice as to the circumstances that they would be born into. They had no choice. And I was even thinking, you know, if they had a choice, would they have chosen to come into our home? I hope so. Our children are a gift. But when it comes to our Lord Jesus, he did have a choice. He did have a choice. And he chose to come into this world in person as our Lord Jesus Christ. But with his coming into the world, he didn't choose the most comfortable option for himself. Instead, he chose what would be best for everybody else. And so he chose to take upon himself the sinful guilt of mankind who rebelled against him and who were on the road to destruction. He chose the cross on which he suffered and bled and died in the place of sinners, for the likes of you and me. And that question is why? And so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be reborn, and so that we can be transformed. And God could have just snuffed everybody out, every single sinner, in fact, all of creation. But instead, he chose to face sin head on, and through his incarnation and through his perfect life and his sacrificial death and his powerful resurrection and his victorious ascension, he destroyed the works of the devil. But what does it mean when John says that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil? Because when we look at the world around us today, we can pretty much say that it is in chaos. It has been ripped apart by the devastating effects of sin. And obviously that includes the works of the devil. It's the destructive influence of also of all his evil spirits, all the evil minions in his domain. And obviously all the rebellious actions of sinful men themselves. But when we look at the passage, and when John uses that word destroys, it does not mean annihilate. And so he is telling us, he's telling his hearers, that Jesus has robbed Satan of his power. His power has been reduced and his weapons have been impaired. You see, from the time of Adam and Eve and since the fall, mankind has stood guilty in their sin. And Satan could rightly accuse all of us for our sin. Because at one stage we were all in bondage to our sin. We were dead in our sin. We were biased towards our sin. Every single fiber of our being was corrupted by sin. But now, because of Jesus, who was fully God and who was fully man, who lived as a man and was fully obedient to the Father, and because of his sinless, and because he chose to come and take our punishment and all of our judgment, you see, he has provided the only means for our salvation. The only means. And so Satan, he has lost his power. He's lost his power to accuse the redeemed sinner. Because Jesus has absorbed all of our guilt. He's taken all of our shame and all that punishment that was supposed to come our way. And he's taken it on our behalf. And in exchange, he has given us his righteousness, his absolute perfection. How's that for a Christmas present? We give him all of our sin and guilt and punishment, and he gives us with his perfection and righteousness. Yes, John still alludes to the fact that Satan is still our mighty foe. And that he is still very powerful and that his activities are extensive, and he will be our lifelong enemy. And that even though he has been dethroned and his chains around the believer's heart have been loosened, he will still try to wreak havoc in our lives and in the world. But you see, all of his maleficence, it all come to an end when God pronounces his final judgment on him. And God the Father will do this when he has fulfilled all of his divine purposes. And so we can ask the question, you know, why does God allow this to continue? In the great reality, he has his plan. He has his purposes. And you see, until every son and daughter has been called to him for glory, then he will come again. That's the beauty of 2 Peter chapter 3. You see, scoffers will come and they will say, where is his second coming? But he's patient. He wants people to repent. And so Satan might still win a few battles, but ultimately he has lost the war. And until that time, God extends his grace and his mercy to all mankind. And you see, today is the day of salvation, is it not? And so Christmas time is just another opportunity that we have as believers to bear witness for Christ. So we need to ask ourselves is, will we be a herald? Will we be a friend? Will we be someone who brings the good news of good tidings? Or will we just go along with the usual flow of the season? You see, we have a choice too. You see, we can be intentional in our celebrations, where we can focus our hearts and our love on our Lord Jesus. You see, we can also be prayerful for those who will be with us. Who's coming around? Who have you been praying for? Who have you been engaging with? You see, we can also be filled with joy at what Jesus has done for us, shining the light of his glorious gift to us. Some closing thoughts. You see, we celebrate the birth of Jesus because the Son of Man has come into this world to serve, to seek, to save, and to sustain us forgiven sinners, not sisters, sinners. And because of this great truth, it should also be a time when we celebrate our new birth. We are new creatures. We have been given new identities and a new nature. And we are to be living in a way that speaks of this great truth. You see, how can we celebrate Jesus' birth but not cherish him on a daily basis? How can we celebrate the disarmament and the destruction of the devil and his hold on us, but then not follow our Lord Jesus into the freedom that he has called us to? In those last two verses, John gives the believer a reason for great joy, as he points us to another great accomplishment that Jesus has achieved for us. In verse 9, he says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. And the basic understanding is this, is now because of our new relationship that we have been brought into with God, and because of who he is and what he has done for us, his righteous character, his pureness, his sinlessness, and also because he is a sin-destroying God, and because of the fact that he is God that lives within us through the Holy Spirit, there is now this incompatibility with the old life that we used to live, where we were just given away to sin. See, we no longer go on with self-indulged sin. He has now caused us to be reborn. The Holy Spirit abides in us, and we are now filled with, yes, with guilt when we do fall into sin, but we repent and we seek his face for forgiveness. We can no longer go on living in rebellion towards him. Why? Because we've been loved so much by him. Saved, reborn, new identity, new character. We have a new father. And just like some of my kids, or my kids, mimic some of my behavior, which I hope is good stuff. We have a new Heavenly Father, don't we? And as each day goes by, we begin to mimic Him more and more. He has loved us so much. And so we love Him more in return. You see, the true Christian now agrees with God. And now he wants to live in peace with Him. And he wants to live in continuous praise towards Him. And so now the believer now sees their sin as how God defines sin. It's not their own realization or rationalization of their behavior. And so they now confess it and they turn from it. And the true child of God is the one who lives righteously. And this doesn't mean that we now live perfectly. It just means that we live less in our sin. We find less joy in it. We find less fulfillment in it. In fact, it becomes more and more distasteful to us. So Christmas is not merely a time for us to look back at what Jesus has done for us. It is also about the here and now and what the Lord continues to do for us. Jesus came to dwell among us, and He continues to dwell with us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He continues to seek us out, and He continues to hold us in the palm of His hand. He continues to save us by His grace, and He will continue to sustain us. And so the question for us is what help do you need at this time? What are you struggling with? What are your sufferings that you are going through? What trials are you going through? What temptations are you battling with? What battle with sin are you going through at this moment? Because you see, we have a sustaining Savior who is willing and ready to help us in all of our needs, willing to help in our fight for the faith. And as we worship the child in the manger, we are pointed to the fact that because of the Son of Man's coming into this world and His gift to us, we have become the children of God, given a new status, a new life, and a new purpose. And so you have been served by the God of all creation. You have been sought by Him. You have been redeemed by Him. You are sustained by Him, liberated from your enemy, and free to worship, free to adore Him, free to praise our majestic God. And so for us this evening, this is our call. Live in regards to who you are. Live for your Lord Jesus. Live in anticipation. And also live in the moment, knowing that we, as it says in Luke chapter 21 and as well as Luke chapter 12, knowing that we also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when we do not expect. And then we'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And then He will send the angels out and they will gather His elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth and to the ends of heaven. And so Jesus' first coming was in humility of the manger, but His second coming is going to be in great, great glory. And will you be ready for Him? Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for its richness. Thank You for its challenge. Lord, help us to be people who are in continuous fellowship with You. Lord, where we celebrate You on a daily basis for the wonders that You have done in our lives. And Lord, as we enjoy our time of fellowship together and as we sing up our praises to You, may they come from hearts that are in love with You. And we pray this in Your precious name. Amen.